Hello friends, I am Soumendra Naik and I welcome you to this session on Rural Dynamics. Today's chapter of discussion is about Panchayati Raj and the rural administration at the local level. Our father of nation, Mahatma Gandhi, has always been a strong promoter of the decentralized form of government. So here he always has recommended that the government should be decentralized and it should be as close to the people as possible. Panchayati Raj has been advocated by Mahatma Gandhi as the foundation of India's political system and the decentralized form of government in which each village would be responsible for its own affair. Instead, India developed a highly centralized form of government at the center. However, it has been moderated by the delegation of several administrative functions to the local level, empowering electorate Gram Panchayat. There are significant differences between the traditional Panchayati Raj system that was envisioned by Mahatma Gandhi and the system which got formalized in the year 1992 in India. The Panchayati Raj system, to start with, first was adopted by the state of Rajasthan in implementing it in the Nagaur district on 2nd of October 1959. During the 1950s and 60s, other states also came forward adopting this system of Panchayati Raj, and the second state to adopt was Andhra Pradesh, while Maharashtra was the ninth state. It was founded backing in the Indian Constitution with the 73rd Amendment, which happened in the year 1992, that led to the accommodate the modern Panchayati Raj system. This amendment, it contains the provision of devolution of powers and responsibilities to the panchayats for the preparation of economic development plans and social justice. It also talked about the implementation in relation to 29 subjects listed in the 11th schedule of the constitution. And it also talked about the ability to levy and collect appropriate taxes, duties, tolls and fees. This act aims to provide a three-tier system of Panchayati Raj for all the states having a population of over 2 million, to hold the Panchayat elections regularly every 5 years, where they elect their own Panchayat body, the Gram Panchayat, who is responsible for the next 5 years, then to provide the seats reserved for scheduled caste and scheduled tribes as well as women, to appoint a state finance commission to make the recommendations regarding the financial powers of the panchayats, and to constitute a district planning committee. When we talk about the different tiers of Panchayati Raj, so normally it is a machinery which functions at three levers. The first lever being the Gram Panchayat, which operates at the village level. The second lever is the Panchayat Samiti, which operates at the block level, and hence it is also known by various other names like the block samiti and even the taluka samiti at some states where according to the local lingua franca. Then the bigger tier, that is the Jila Parishad, which is functional at the district level. Panchayati Raj generally refers to the system of local self-government. Currently, the Panchayati Raj system, it exists in all states of India except three states only. Those are Nagaland, Mizoram and Meghalaya. Other than this, there are all the other union territories also where it is very much functional except Delhi, which is the union territory where it is not. The Panchayat receive funds from three sources, and these three only identify sources are the local body grants, which are recommended by the Central Finance Commission. Then they also receive fund from the implementation of centrally sponsored schemes. And the third source of revenue are from the funds released by the state governments on the recommendations of the state finance commissions. Now we are going to talk about the ground level of Panchayati Raj system, or the ultimate lever, which is close to the village and operates at the village level. That's the Gram Panchayat. So in Gram Panchayat, Sarpanch is its elected head. The members of the Gram Panchayat are elected for a period of 5 years by the members of the Gram Sabha. The Gram Panchayat has different sources of income. The sources of income being the tax collected locally, such as on water, on the place of pilgrimage, on local mandirs, temples and other various markets that operate in their local area. Then also they have the fixed grant from the state government in proportion to the land revenue and money for works and schemes assigned to the parishads. Now we are going to talk about the second lever of the Panchayati Raj system, that's the Panchayat Samiti, which is operational at the block level or taluka or tehsil level. Even some areas it is regarded as the Mandal Samiti because they regard it by that name. A Panchayat Samiti is a local government body at the taluka level. This body works for the villages of the taluka that are together called a development block. The Panchayat Samiti is the link between the Gram Panchayat and the district administration known as the Jila Parishad. In general, the Panchayat Samiti has the same form of Gram Panchayat but at a higher level, operating and catering to a larger area. Coming about the composition of Panchayat Samiti, we have membership which is composed of all the Sarpanch in the Panchayat Samiti area. We have the MPs and MLS of those areas. We have the sub-district officer known as the SDO or of the subdivision. The cooperative members, representative of the SC or ST and women categories. We also have the associate members, a farmer from the area, a representative of the cooperative society and one from the marketing services and sometimes some elected members also. There is an officer for every department in a Panchayat Samiti. The government appointed block development officer known as BDO, who is the executive officer of the Samiti and the chief of its administration and is responsible for his work to the CEO of Jila Parishad. Coming to what are the different functions of Panchayat Samiti, because they are cater to a larger area, so they have wider responsibilities, and here the functions are like implementation of schemes for the development of agriculture and infrastructure, establishment of primary health centers and primary schools. These are mainly the essential services, and even education, which being the fundamental right, the primary education is made mandatory. They also have responsibilities and functions for the supply of drinking water and the sanitation, drainage and construction, as well as repair of roads. They have the responsibility for development of a cottage and small scale industry and the opening of cooperative societies. They also have a responsibility for delivering the establishment of youth organizations. Now friends, we are going to talk about the third and the biggest tier of the Panchayati Raj system, which operates at the district level, that is the Jila Parishad. The word Jila Parishad comes from the word Jila, which means district in vernacular languages, and the governing of the advanced system at the district level is in Panchayati Raj is also popularly known as Jila Parishad. The chief of administration is an officer of the IAS cadre, that is the Indian Administrative Service cadre, and he is the chief officer of the Panchayat Raj for the district level. When it comes to the composition of Jila Parishad, the member varies from 40 to 60 and usually comprises of the deputy commissioner of the district, the president of all Panchayat Samitis in the district, heads of all government departments in the district, the member of parliament and member of legislative assembly, that is the MP and MLAs of that district, a representative of each cooperative society, some women members and scheduled caste members if not adequately represented, and cooperative members having extraordinary experience and achievements in public domain. Now let us talk about the responsibility and the functions of Jila Parishad. The Jila Parishad have more wider responsibilities, and they have a responsibility or function to provide the essential services and facilities to the rural population. They have to supply the improved seeds to farmers and inform them of new farming techniques that the farmers can adopt to get more productivity or increase their sources of income. They also have a responsibility and the function to set up and run schools as well as libraries in rural areas. They start the primary health centers and hospitals in villages, where vaccination drives are very important against any kind of epidemic diseases. Like the polio vaccine is one of the most important function where they drive it very successfully and organize it across the district. They have to execute the plans for the development of the scheduled caste and tribes. They have to run ashrams, the shalas for Adivasi children, set up free hostels for them wherever required for the tribal people. They also have functions to encourage the entrepreneurs to start small-scale industries and implement rural employment schemes. They will take care of the construction of bridges, the roads and other public facilities, as well as their maintenance over due course of time. They have to generate and provide employment to the local folks of that area. They also have to work on sanitation related issues. So friends, now talking about the performance of Panchayati Raj institutions, where they have functioned in a different set of way at various states, and let us see some examples how they have performed and what are their performance over the years. So Panchayati Raj was to play a key role in the agricultural development. So raising of agricultural production was included as one of the foremost responsibility of Panchayati Raj system. It was entrusted with the responsibility of paying special attention to the weaker sections, which consist of small landholders and as well as the landless laborers. Most of the functions which have been entrusted to Panchayati Raj are related to the rural development activities. The agricultural development program occupies the top priority at the national level, and it is to be implemented at the district, then below it at the taluka, and finally at the village levels, because this Panchayati Raj system is looking after a society which is mainly the agrarian society, where farming is a prime occupation. However, it has not been shaped according to the local needs and available resources. The plans prepared at the higher levels do not conform to the capabilities and aspirations of public at the lower level. Thus, if the process of planning is reversed, that is from bottom to top, the achievements might have been different. In actual practice, it is found that Panchayati Raj has concentrated more on the social welfare functions than on the agricultural functions. The welfare schemes could confer benefits in a direct way. This is the appropriate system to help agricultural development by undertaking efficient implementation of land reforms. Panchayati Raj can ensure minimum wages to farm workers and perform other work which will promote agricultural growth. However, Panchayati Raj bodies lack adequate funds, and most of the state governments are not inclined to assign more funds to them. Panchayati Raj institutions are very politicized. Party interests are given high priority. The local heads and communities are dominated by rich and politically influenced people who prevent percolation of benefits to the lowest strata. In states, for example, Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh, Gujarat and Madhya Pradesh, they revealed that wherever village panchayats were given adequate powers and resources, their performance was much satisfactory in the field of agricultural development. Real contribution of Panchayati Raj bodies in agricultural development has remained always a very debatable issue. In actual practice, the political leadership at the taluka and village levels are not shown enough awareness and capacity to give top priority to the developmental work. It is better to establish a separate agency for development functions because the Panchayati Raj cannot handle agricultural production. It can be handled successfully only under a system of single line control and responsibility. All major functions such as availability of long and short term credit, development of communication and transport facilities and other services are generally dealt with at the state level. All smaller functions such as supply of seeds, distribution of fertilizers, insecticides and improved implements are taken up by agricultural departments of state government. The Panchayat Raj bodies make their contribution by arranging for the proper and timely distribution of all the above items to the villagers. In doing so, these institutional needs which are being provided in a well-built administrative mechanism for different processes which are very much essential for the overall agricultural development. There are variations in the Panchayati Raj patterns in different states across India and are related to different levels of agricultural development, which can be clearly seen from the report card that has been generated on the levels of development that is happening in agriculture pertaining to each state. This raises a fundamental issue: how far should Panchayati Raj bodies be entrusted with agricultural related programs? Or should these programs be handed over to the state government departments who can function in a more efficient way? The Panchayati Raj system has brought together at district level and even at the lower strata two divergent set of peoples. The first one is the elected representative, the second one being the government servants. There is some evidence to show that the relationship between the officials and the non-officials, that is representatives, has been deteriorating over the years to some extent. Further, the officials, they have regarded themselves as superior to the masses and their leaders. They are not content with the laying down policy. They like to have a hand in implementing it as well. The result is interference by the officials. The non-government officials or non-officials pressurize the officers to ignore or overlook irregularities. The development programs carried out by elected bodies are subjected to political pressures as well. In regard to developmental activities, there is no proper coordination. The district collector is there, but at the district level, there are also officers of different departments like the PWD, the agriculture, the corporation, education, etc. and several other officers. There is also someone at the community development work. These different units are not under direct control or supervision of the district collector. They have their direct connections with the respective heads of departments sitting at the state secretariat. If a very highly skilled official is placed in an area where leadership lacks in matching competence, he is likely to get frustrated. Further, problems of coordination between generalist and specialist has also assumed greater importance. It is not possible that a generalist will take the place of a specialist of high technical competence. Actually, there should be a direct and single line of command. The Balwant Rai Mehta Committee, it made a study and the team envisaged the following role of the collector. At district level, the collector or deputy commissioner should be the captain of the team of officers of all development departments and should be made fully responsible for securing the necessary coordination and cooperating in the preparation as well as execution of the district plans for the community development. he should be invested with such powers to make the annual assessment of the work of the of various departmental officers in regard to their cooperation with other department officers, in regard to their speed in work, and as well as their dealings with people and their reputation for their integrity. The recommended role has been accepted by almost all the states, and he continues to be a guide or a friend as well as a philosopher to the democratic bodies set up under the Panchayati Raj. We find that the role of the collector or deputy commissioner of the district is becoming more dominant. He is emerging as a great coordinator and a valuable guide in the context of democratic decentralization. So friends, before we proceed for the next aspect with examples, what are the positive and negative aspects of the Panchayati Raj system, let us also talk about another important role, that is the role of women, which has come up in the recent times. With the amendment and the law passed by the Parliament of India in the year 2009, it has reserved 50% of seats for the women in the Panchayati Raj system. So that has ultimately led to a lot of women participation in the Panchayati Raj, and at the Gram Panchayat level, where actually women are coming forward and they are even making steps towards the empowerment of other women in the community. Because when a woman is a chosen or elected representative, she will definitely look into the other aspects where other women are benefited from it. So this was quite a crucial development that happened after the 50% reservation regarding the women in the Panchayati Raj. Now talking about some of the positive aspects, the Panchayati Raj has been very useful in implementing various developmental programs. Through they distributed the agricultural inputs like fertilizers, seeds, farm machinery and pump set, not across all the states, but some states have shown exemplary examples. And they have carried out minor irrigation works and have constructed roads, tanks, etc. The village panchayats have been useful in encouraging the introduction of new methods of cultivation as well. They also have been adopting a lot of new technologies which are coming to India in the farming sector for the overall growth of the agricultural sector. The next positive aspect is about the social welfare and increasing agricultural production, which were the most important purpose served by Panchayati Raj, that created new leadership in rural areas. The Panchayati Raj institutions have inculcated initiative, self-reliance and a sense of responsibility among the village people. Panchayati Raj has many achievements to its credit, such as it made an average citizen more conscious of his rights than before, which is a process of democracy, and he is now more aware about all his fundamental rights. It bridged the gap between the bureaucratic elite and the common people. It generated a new leadership, relatively younger, modernistic and pro-social change. It helped rural people cultivate a development psyche, where actually they look forward for not only just developing their own annual income source, even they are looking after the entire community to develop further with a mutual inclusion policy. The next positive aspect is that though Panchayati Raj government is trying to involve rural people in the formulation and implementation of economic plans, through this, the research has shown that having female political representations in local governments makes women more likely to come forward and report crimes. That is where the 50% reservation is gaining momentum. And there are examples in Kerala where actually certain panchayats have totally 100% of women representations in the Panchayati Raj system. Also, there are a few negative aspects which I'll talk about. And these negative aspects include the panchayats are starved of finance and government assistance, which is very much inadequate. This leads to deficiency in completing development projects, which are halfway left in between, and this leads to the decline of the progress of the Panchayati Raj and is painfully very slow. The village panchayats are highly susceptible to the influence of big farmers and money lenders as well. There is too much political interference in the governing body, which actually disrupts the entire flow or the work process. It not only delays the work process, but also it demoralizes the other people who are motivated well to carry it forward. There are various other negative aspects which has come out as an example in certain cases of Panchayati Raj across various geographies. The interest shown by the people is very much lukewarm. There is casteism, there is communalism, and even the poor leadership which is shown at various places. There is unwillingness of panchayats to impose taxes across some geographies. The fruits of economic development have been cornered by the rich and the upper caste people. The weaker section has not been much benefited by this. They have failed to promote the social equality. There is lack of self-reliance and increasing dependence on the state governments due to all these factors. There are bickerings, factionalism, corruption, manipulation of accounts, which is shown at various places. There is scramble of power and position. Even the bureaucratic approach and lack of guidance from superior authorities is totally making this overall system a big flaw. Habit of the panchayats to ignore people in some areas are actually demotivating the common people. So friends, before we conclude this chapter on Panchayati Raj, let us just summarize what all points we have discussed during this chapter. So we started with the Panchayati Raj system, how it has started with the vision of our father of nation, Mahatma Gandhi, and then we discussed about the genesis of it. So then we also discussed about what are the different three tiers through which the Panchayati Raj system or the machinery operates. We talked about the Gram Panchayat, we talked about the Panchayat Samiti, and then we talked about the Jila Parishad. We also discussed the different responsibilities that is vested with each of these tiers, and then we also discussed about what is the kind of performance that has been delivered by this Panchayati Raj system throughout India across various states. There are few positive as well as few negative aspects to it. We also defined the responsibility of a Jila Parishad or even the district collector according to the Balwant Rai Mehta committee suggestions. And then finally, we also talked about the importance of women and the 50% of reservation that has happened by the government law that was passed for the reservation of women in the Panchayati Raj system, and how overall it has impacted the overall Panchayati Raj. So with this, we have also discussed regarding the friction or coercion that is happening between the district head or the Jila Parishad as well as different departmental heads who directly reports to the state secretariat. We also are wondering about a question that as the Panchayati Raj system has been so much focusing on the mainly on the welfare system of the overall rural development, and there is somewhere we feel that the overall agriculture development is not up to the expectations. So is there a need of a separate body to look after the agriculture development directly governed by the state government? So with this remark, I would like to conclude this chapter. Thank you very much.